Just 3 days to go, everyone. We've reached Thursday. It's the 4th of April. And as I say, we're a matter of days now away from the big game on Sunday. This is the Celtic Way Morning Briefing for Thursday. I am Hamish, and we've got Ryan on with me as well. Ryan, I've been overtaken by a sense of positivity today. I can't shake the feeling that Celtic have a point to prove on Sunday and are going to do it. How are you feeling?
I've got to say, I'm completely the same. I'm completely positive going into this game. I was doing another podcast last night talking about it, and I'm feeling pretty good about this. There's a couple of reasons why. I just think Celtic have managed to stabilise in the right way over the past few weeks, just before the international break, with those two wins against, albeit it was Livingston and St Johnstone before the international break, and then after it, with Livingston away from home. But there seems to have been a change, a mood change, but also a performance change. Things have stabilised, players have got better, and now it feels as if the cavalry's coming back, with all of these players coming back from injury. Feeling pretty good about things at the moment, and yeah, looking forward to getting into it in a wee bit more detail this morning.
I just sense we've really got a point to prove on Sunday, and as I say, it's a weird thing to say about a team who have, you know, effectively, certainly the vast majority have won the lot in Scotland, and a manager who, you know, won 7 from 7 in his first spell. But it just feels like a lot's been written about Brendan Rodgers and this team. And I really just sense there's a feeling that they want to, you know, answer all those kind of those critics on Sunday and really put a marker down. I just think it's a huge opportunity. You know, we can have our own debate over whether it's a must win or not, but you know, it's certainly a game that I want Celtic to go and win. I think we have to go and try and win the game, and I'm sure we will. Plenty to talk about. There's not actually a great deal of news happening yet, but I don't think we'll struggle to fill the next half an hour or so. So if you've got any thoughts or comments, please batter your keyboard or your phone away, and I'll do my best to bring them up on screen. I'll really pay attention to them today. First of all, just want to thank Weissman, a global leader in the boiler industry, who are known for their top-notch German engineering, for sponsoring our podcast. And they've teamed up with Scotland's very own award-winning installation team, MPH Boilers, which makes this a great, perfect match right here in Scotland. Weissman do boilers, and those boilers are engineered to deliver not just warmth, but unparalleled efficiency and reliability. We're talking about cutting-edge technology, and that's designed to save you on energy bills and reduce emissions. And with MPH Boilers, you know you're getting service from the best in the business. It's an incredible partnership as part of it. And when you choose a Weissman boiler installed by MPH, you also get a free internet controller. They're offering the first year service free. What more do you want? So if your boiler is showing its age or you're considering an upgrade, this is your chance to get world-class engineering with local expert advice. We've also got our deal running, Ryan. Is there any talk of the Kyogo print being updated to show his hat-trick from this coming Sunday?
It's got as many goals as he'll score against Rangers thus far this season, hopefully, on the back. He's going for his 8th league goal, so you can see Kyogo 8. It's no coincidence that his number's 8 as well on the Celtic team. Hopefully that'll be the amount of goals he has, at least by the end of play on Sunday. That would be good if it was updating, but you know, it's Kyogo. He's a modern day great almost. I think he's getting towards that stage, which is absolutely brilliant to see. You're just hoping that he scores a wee bit more goals for Brendan Rodgers. But yeah, 6 months of access for £1. By pledging £1, you'll be sorted until this time on October, so it'll be right after the transfer window, right into the new season. You'll have all of our scouting updates from players that Celtic go for in the summer. You'll also get analysis pieces from Alan Morrison, from myself. You get opinion pieces and big interviews from Tony Haggerty. So if you are looking for that and you want to support us just that wee bit more, please visit www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe and get involved. We really do appreciate everybody that's taken up the offer. We're getting closer to our target that we set out to do before the offer was made public. So if we can get to that as soon as possible, then we'll really, really appreciate it. So anybody that wants to get involved, please visit that link.
Yes, indeed. Let's just get into the nitty-gritty then. Will Callum Mack be starting? Dennis is asking. Yes, I am very confident, based on absolutely nothing ITK, that McGregor will be starting. I think he's been geared up for this one. Listen, I could be wrong when we hear from Brendan Rodgers tomorrow. I don't expect Rodgers to actually confirm whether McGregor will start the match. I think we'll have to wait until the team comes out at whenever, 10:45 or whatever on Sunday. But I think he'll be fit, and I think he'll start the game. And I think it'll be a huge boost for us.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you've said there, Hamish. I think he will start the game. I think the only reason why he didn't play, if it was a normal surface last weekend, I think he would have had minutes. But the fact that he's just coming back from his Achilles injury, I think it was a mixture between an Achilles and a calf injury, wasn't it? It was a mixture of the two, but mostly the Achilles. That and a plastic pitch could be very, very dodgy. One false slip or one false movement and that could completely rupture. So it's good that he had that week without playing on the plastic pitch. He'd be playing on a far better surface at Ibrox than the one that would be at Tony Macaroni. I think he's ready to go. I think he'll have been back in training this week. He might even be back in training yesterday or today in preparation for this game. What a boost that would be. I was talking about it last night as well, saying that imagine Celtic just posted a picture on their Twitter of Cal McGregor in training, you know, set the mood music. Shouting
at Borna Barisic.
Yeah, choice words from him. I think it could be a difficult game for Borna Barisic and other reasons due to who he's facing up against in the game on Sunday. But yeah, Cal McGregor, he's the captain. He's been one of Celtic's best players in these games over the past few years or so. Probably the best player in the last two games, the two meetings this season, single-handedly. Tore Rangers to shreds. I know Kyogo scored the two goals and Paulo Bernardo scored as well, but those goals wouldn't have transpired if Cal McGregor wasn't on the pitch at that point in time. He's just a brilliant leader. He seems to go up to this extra gear when he's playing against Rangers. He understands the assignment, and if he is picked, then I'm sure you wouldn't see any ring rust or any lack of match sharpness. I think he'd go straight back into that mode that we've been waiting for him to get back into.
I mean, that's where I come at it as well, and I know that there's maybe, you know, some fans who maybe think we're getting a bit carried away. McGregor, we haven't seen him since the first half of the Dundee game, probably, 5 weeks ago? And I think, you know, with any normal player, this would be a real risk to put them in, assuming that they are, you know, fit to start and start them in a game of this magnitude. But I don't think McGregor is any normal player, and we've seen that before. He's literally come into derbies, or certainly one derby in the past, cold or so-called cold, and gone on to play an absolute blinder. Now, I know that was a facial injury, wasn't it, as opposed to, you know, something lower down in your body. But I think the same would still go for him. That he came into that game and you know, what, a couple of years ago? 3 years ago? 2 years ago, sorry. And hadn't played in a number of weeks and absolutely bossed it that night. And I just have no doubt that he's able to do that again. I think with someone else, you would possibly look at easing them in or getting them off the bench. Maybe if it was like a Matt O'Reilly or even a Rio Hatate, you know, coming back for the first game, you'd be looking maybe not to start them. But I just think with McGregor, his importance to the team, the boost it would give everyone else. I don't see a massive risk there. I guess the big question is, you know, is he ready? But the point I would make is I don't think McGregor would put himself out there if he's not 100% ready. I think he'll, you know, do what's best for the team. But I'm so certain he's going to be leading the team out on Sunday. Des just saying Brendan Rodgers won't be giving anything away. Smokescreen time up till Sunday. I think so. I don't think we'll get a great deal from his press conference tomorrow. You know, he may say whether McGregor's available or not, he may say whether Palma's available or not, but I don't think he'll be confirming, you know, exactly what's going on. I think he'll want to keep a bit of mystery there for Sunday. Tom is pointing out that there's a send-off on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. in the Celtic Way to cheer on the boys as they head off to prepare to destroy that lot. Now, I assume this is just as the team go off to their hotel on Saturday. They're not heading to Ibrox 18 hours before kickoff. And I'm also assuming that there'll be something on Sunday as well as the players leave the hotel. But it's great that we're able to, you know, make our voices heard and really show the team that we're just fully behind them this weekend, even though we'll have no one inside the stadium apart from Tony.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great turnout from everybody involved and cheering them on in both sections. I think it'll be the Dakota Hotel that they stay in. I think they usually stay there.
You're revealing that.
It's common knowledge. People have been outside there before. I think my mum and dad were actually there in one of the times before, and they seen the players coming out. They were having an overnight, and they seen the players go. I think that was a couple of years ago, rather. But yeah, it's good that Celtic are. It's good that the fans have arranged this, because, you know, as an early morning one, that they'll be heading to Ibrox, and this is a good chance for them to feel that atmosphere, to feel that support. From a support that won't be present at the game at Ibrox. Thankfully, it'll be the last game at Ibrox, you would imagine, without Celtic fans, because of the new allocation rules that are coming into play next season. This will be the last time that they have to deal with it. They'll have a full 60,000 after the split to support them in that capacity for the last time before Rangers then get a portion of the stadium, which I have no problem with. So it's the last time that the sort of lockdown scenario or lockdown rules are imposed on the Glasgow derby, which is quite good in terms of away fans. But yeah, I think there'll be a big uptake in this. There'll be loads of people. I'm sure the Green Brigade and the boys will make their presence felt for the players leaving. I'm sure they've also been briefed on when the players will leave, because it's not just a random time that Celtic will be that they'll be around, and then just by chance the Celtic players will come out at that point. I'm sure they're briefed that is the time that they're leaving, which is good. I think that shows that there's maybe been some positive dialogue between the fans groups and the club as a whole. Maybe that times are changing and there is a bit more of a positive between the two factions, the two or three factions, which is good. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the videos that come out from that, and hopefully it's a good turnout and the players feel the noise and feel the passion and the support ahead of a massive game.
Yeah, I mean, it's in everyone's best interest, isn't it, to have the team, you know, roared off or roared on Saturday. And as I say, I think there'll be something else on Sunday. This is nothing new. I mean, we had this, it kind of started in the COVID season, didn't it, when we had the stuff at Lennox Town. Didn't quite have the effect we were hoping for that season, but certainly in matches since, there's always been stuff like this. And there's something really, I don't know, really quite powerful about it, that I find that when you're going into, you know, the Lion's Den, as Steven Gerrard would probably hate me calling it, and you've got no fans there, but you're still, you know, all there, or certainly a large amount of you are there, the day before or the morning of the game to really roar the team on. It must have some sort of an effect on the players. And even, you know, even guys like Nicholas Kuhn, who maybe just, you know, you hear about this derby, and it's probably one of the first things you hear and know about Celtic, is that they've got this big rivalry. But until you actually experience it, and, you know, it can be quite an intimidating thing going to Ibrox at the best of times, especially with no fans. But I think, you know, for someone like him and obviously the rest of the squad, just knowing that even though we're not there, we're fully behind them and we fully believe in them to get a result, I sense a lot of belief. Like, even just reading the comments here, you know, me and you chatting, Tony's, you know, believing at the worst of times. That's just the way he is. But I just sense that, you know, there's a feeling that this Celtic team has a point to prove and has real quality now returning. I mean, we've got quite a good comment in there, you know, AGSE saying, Sunday's a golden shot to fix all the trauma of this season and to right all the wrongs. I must admit, that's kind of how I'm feeling as well. Listen, it's been a kind of difficult season so far. I think everyone would admit that, but we still have a massive opportunity, and Sunday is the big opportunity for me right now to win that game, which we're more than capable of doing. You know, if we go there and turn up and play the way we can with the quality we have, win that game, and then you will just see belief soar between now and the end of the season. Steve pointing out as well, you know, great point as always from Steve. Last season, Calmac returned versus Aberdeen after 2 months out. He was man of the match and scored a late winning goal. He had played in a friendly or a closed door game against Rennes, I believe, the week before. There had been talk of a kind of closed-door game this week. I don't know if that was just rumours, but I saw Clyde mentioned possibly. Could be nonsense, but it'll be interesting to see if there's anything there. Dennis wondering who drops out of the midfield for you if McGregor's coming in. Is that harsh in Iwata, or is that just the way things have to be?
I think both could play, if I'm being perfectly honest. I made this point last night. I think Cal McGregor and Iwata could potentially play at Ibrox. That is definitely a consideration that Brendan Rodgers, I think, will take into account. Potentially Hatate. And I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous to say, but it depends what sort of mentality Brendan Rodgers has. And I do think he'll be going out to win this game. He's got that winning mentality and he'll be wanting to win the game, which makes me think that Rio Hatate will play from the off. But I think there's definitely something to be said for maybe bringing him on with half an hour to go in order to win the game. Maybe Iwata could play in the number six and Cal McGregor play further forward. I don't know if that would maybe aggravate his injury more if he's doing more running. Maybe better off playing him as the number six. It's either or. But it's options now, and that's the good thing. Celtic have options in the midfield. Bernardo's an option. Don't think he's going to start the game, but I still think he's got a part to play when he comes off the bench, whenever that does happen. I still think he'll get 20, 25 minutes. Maybe for Rio Hatate, if Hatate starts, then Bernardo will get the last 25 minutes to half an hour. If you can get 60 minutes out of Rio, then you're doing a good job. If you can get, you'd much rather get a good amount of time from him than take him off and not him. Because we're trying to ease him back into the side. After all, you know, it'll only be his second game back from a multitude of injuries. He's not really had any sort of long run in the team because it's always been one, two, three games and then he's picked up another injury. He went away with Japan in the Asia Cup, played two games, then get an injury. He needs to get five, six, seven games. He cannot get injured from now until the end of the season. This has got to be his run. He's got to have a marker on this season. He's got to make his mark on this season, and by doing that he needs to be fit for the next 7-8 games. I'm of the belief that Rio Hatate can win you two trophies this season with his influence, because he's that good. But he can only be that good if he manages game time and manages body. I was reading a Japanese article last night on him. He'd put out one of his sort of personal sort of Sports Tribune articles, and he was talking about how he was almost depressed when he got injured once again, and he's desperate to show the Celtic support what he's all about, because he feels as if they've not seen enough of him this season, and they'll have a different perception of him. I think he needs to know that the perception is very much the same, and that if he's playing a good game, then you know the fans will revere him once again, as they do already. But they revere him even though he's been injured for such a long time. So I think his game time's got to be managed. I think there's definitely some game time needed for Bernardo in the second half of the game. But there's decisions now for Rodgers to make, and that wasn't the case in the first two Glasgow derbies. Players just automatically got their positions due to the injuries that were present in the team. Now there's decisions to be made, and that can only be good for the squad as a whole.
I think we'll definitely see Bernardo and Iwata play a part in the game. Right, what do you think of this, everyone? I put it to you all that the Celtic team picks itself for Ibrox, assuming that McGregor is fit, which is an assumption, but let's just say he is. Joe Hart, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales, Greg Taylor, Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate, Matt O'Reilly, Nicholas Kuhn, Daizen Maeda, Kyogo Furuhashi. I know what I said earlier in the week about Liam Scales. You know, personally, I would play Naropski. It's not going to happen. Scales is going to play. I put it to you, Ryan, that is the team we will see start on Sunday, and I'm pretty sure about it. With McGregor being the only question mark.
Yeah, I think McGregor is the only question mark, but that's down to fitness. That's not down to form or anything else like that. If he's fit and he is ready to go, he's the captain. You play the captain in your biggest games. You play your captain in the smallest games as well, because he doesn't really get a rest. This injury layoff has been a time for him to maybe recharge his batteries in other ways as well. I know he'll be going through rehab and getting treatment done, yeah. But it's also a time for him to recharge, and that might not be the worst thing. You know, it seems as if the injuries have sort of caught up with the two players that have been playing the most football in the world football, in terms of Pedri and Cal McGregor. Not comparing the two. I know they play in the same position, the centre of midfield, but the amount of the volume of games that those two players have played over the past 3-4 years is incredible. 60-70 games a season. Sometimes you need that break as well, mentally as much as physically, and I'm hoping that he's used it I'm sure he has used it wisely, but it's managed to sort of recharge him, get him focused once again for the title race. I do agree with you that that team, that is my team if everybody's fit. Kun gets into the starting lineup, even though Yang was doing well. But them's the breaks, unfortunately, if you get a two-match suspension and the player that comes in does a good job. You know, he's in the starting lineup, Kun's in the starting lineup. Maeda has to play because of James Tavernier. It's almost a sort of respect to the opponent, but if Rangers are going to get success, it'll probably be down that side through Tavernier and set pieces through Tavernier. The only way to stop that, or stop the first half of that, is by putting Dyson Maeda on him and forcing him to man-mark him the whole game. It's been effective before, and it could be effective once again. And I agree with every other position. The defence speaks for itself. Navrovsky, as much as I'd like to see him, it's more of a risk to play him than Scales, because Scales has been in the starting 11. You don't want to throw Navrovsky in cold, even though they did that the last time at Celtic Park. It's a different kettle of fish at Ibrox when you've got no away fans whatsoever. So I think Scales has done it before. He's done it twice. His best games this season have been against the bigger teams. I look at Lazio, I look at Atletico Madrid, I look at the two performances against Rangers. He can up it again. Yes, he's been down on his form, but I think he can up it once again. And the rest of the positions, I completely agree with you. Kyogo's got to start up front.
Is there any chance of a curveball, though, from Brendan Rodgers, Henrik McClarson, wondering that? And I was just thinking, I think, it, as we keep saying, if McGregor's fit and fully fit, I think he starts. Obviously, if he's not, then, you know, Iwata will play, I would think, next to Hatate and O'Reilly. I don't really see... I mean, Maeda will certainly start. Kyogo will certainly start. You know, you could maybe say, does Yang play rather than Kun? But I just don't see that at the moment. I think, you know, Kun's been good for the last three matches now. He's confident. You know, Roger started Kun over Yang at the weekend when Yang was back. So I'm pretty sure it'll be Kun. You know, Alistair Johnson and Carter Vickers and Joe Hart are all nailed on to start as well. We've not got another left back. So Greg Taylor will start there, obviously. And I don't think he'll change that centre-back position. I mean, Narowski came into the last derby, but he didn't start that game, did he? He came on as a sub, so, I mean, that's a little bit different. If you're asking me, you know, what position could he throw a curveball, you know, take the whole McGregor thing out of the equation with his fitness, the only one I could possibly see would be Yang starting rather than Kun, and even then I don't see that happening. So that's why I'm pretty sure that would be the team. As I say, the only big caveat is, you know, McGregor's fitness. But if McGregor's not ready, Iwata starts, and it's quite simple.
The only other feasible curveball that I could see happening is in the midfield. And the only reason for that being is that Callum McGregor's just coming back from an injury, and so is Rio Hatate. I know he played the 60-65 minutes against Livingston. Can you afford to play two players that have just came back from difficult injuries? You know, because they've got to catch up with the tempo very, very quickly at Ibrox. Otherwise,
be fine.
They'll swamp you. I hope that's the case. That's the only other curveball would be maybe Bernardo for Hatate, because Bernardo's played in that sort of match before and he's good off the ball. But even then, I say that and I don't really necessarily believe the point I'm making, because I think that Hatate will start the match. He's that important. You know, if you've got that player at your disposal, then you use him. And you use him in the big games. He didn't look as if he'd missed a beat on Saturday, or on Sunday rather, on a plastic pitch. He ran the show for the 65 minutes that he was on the park. I've got no doubt that he could do that on a normal pitch at Ibrox. He's the most talented midfielder in Scotland for me, and I think he could up it once again, basically, is what I'm trying to say. If you can get that midfield free of McGregor, Hatate and O'Reilly, if they perform well, if they're all on top of their game, then I can't see anything other than a Celtic win. Because that trinity of players is just so difficult to deal with. You've got McGregor's leadership, Hatate's intelligence, and Matt O'Reilly's endeavour and industry. You put the three of them together, and I think any team would struggle to deal with what they've got.
Aidan was just mentioning the holy trinity of Rayo, Cal and Matt as well. For me, that is the midfield we should go with. I like Iwata. I think Iwata has stuff to offer. I don't think we should forget that at Tynecastle, Iwata was really, really poor. He had a really difficult afternoon, even away from the joke of a penalty that was given against him. You know, he was awful for that that second Hearts goal that was disallowed just before half time when he dilly-dallied.
Beningame.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking about this so much today. That's what we can't afford. Dilly-dallying on Sunday. Like, you look back at recent games and we've been guilty of it a few times. Lager Bielka in September took far too long. They pounced. We kind of got away with one. Okay, free kick, no free kick. It was a kind of marginal call, I think. Joe Hart in the January game last year, when we were up 1-0, looking great, and he dilly-dallied, and Morelos closed him down, and no goal came from it. Rangers hit the post, but it changed the whole atmosphere inside the stadium. And that's what I'd be saying as part of the advice. You know, my two key things: don't give away daft set pieces on Sunday, because that's quite a lot of the time all they are. They're a set piece team. They don't have the same quality we have on the ball, but they're much better at set pieces than us, because they can take free kicks and they can score headers. So don't give away daft free kicks, and also don't dilly-dally on the ball. Be sure with what you're doing, and see if it's a choice between just putting the ball long into a channel, giving away possession, or getting closed down and possibly giving away a goal, and seeing the whole of Ibrox lift in atmosphere. Just put it long. Don't mess about with it, because those two incidents, and there's been more, but those are the ones we need to avoid. We need a really solid performance, because I'm telling you, if we do everything properly and don't give them any encouragement and quiet down that atmosphere, we'll win on Sunday. I'm so sure of it, because we have better players than they do.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you're saying. They also take set pieces when they're in open play as well. They treat being on the ball as a chance to loft the ball and in the box as
that's
well.
All they
if
do.
You watch them, if
chaos
you watch
ball.
Them against Benfica, yeah, it's chaos ball. If you watch them against Motherwell, you watch them against Benfica. It's that long diagonal, usually from Conor Goldson or James Tavernier to the opposite, or sometimes it's Goldson to Tavernier from one side to the other. That cross ball, or looking for Dessers in the box. Dessers has been scoring goals recently, but nobody can convince me he's an elite level player or anything close to the sort. I think any striker would score goals for Rangers with the amount of chances both they make for themselves and that come their way through mistakes from the opposition. So yeah, but you've still got to watch out, because he's a player that's on form and he's been scoring goals. Fabio Silva, I think, will be playing out in the wing. You've got Todd Cantwell that I'm sure will be playing. He played at the weekend, or I think he came off the bench on the weekend. I'd need to double check that. I don't know the Rangers team inside out.
Set up the goal just before half time, didn't he?
So I'm guessing he did start then. So he will be a player that plays. He's not really turned up in these games apart from the dead rubber after the league was essentially won at Ibrox last time out. So it's up to Celtic to make sure that they keep these players quiet. It's going to be a difficult game, don't get me wrong. You've got 50,000 fans that want nothing more than Celtic to get beat. So they've got that pressure on them. But as I said yesterday, you've got to turn that around and make the crowd get on Rangers' back, on their own players' back, rather than Celtic. Because that can happen. If Rangers don't necessarily get their way, the crowd can turn. It can turn into a bit of a hostile atmosphere, and it's up to Celtic to make that happen. An early goal could do that. You know, a couple of mistakes in the back. You know, Goldson isn't the same player that he once was. I was looking up his age yesterday when we were talking about him. He's 31, 32, but I think he's an old 31 now. He's starting to show his age, and that's something that maybe Celtic can profit on. John Souter, Kyogo's had his number for the past, 3 years. In terms of 1v1s, he had his number against Hearts, and he's had his number against Rangers when the two have faced off against each other. Seven goals in a calendar year for Kyogo. I just can't see him not scoring out the weekend. He's that sort of player, even though he's been up and down with his form this season. He's scored in both fixtures against Rangers this season thus far. I can see him doing it in 3 and 4 when it comes to the post-split game at Celtic Park. I'm just supremely confident. And I just think there's so many players coming into form in this game. Not freak results, but negative results can happen. But at this moment in time, I'm supremely confident, because I think Rodgers has got Rangers' number in these fixtures.
Supremely confident, everyone. I'm quietly confident, but Ryan's having none of it. He's supremely confident. I love it. Maybe to add to that confidence, I was looking at the the kind of recent record that we've had. And everyone talks about, you know, Rodgers' first spell, 2016-17, 2017-18 has been a real dominant period for us in these fixtures. And I know that's obvious because we battered them routinely. The last eight derbies, so going back to the start of last season, there's been eight derbies. Celtic have won six of them. There's been a draw and there's been one Rangers win. Like, we have the... And I know that the players have changed, the squads have changed a bit this season, but, you know, we have that over them at the moment and their fans know that. And they won't admit it, but they know that. Six wins from the last eight derbies.
You wouldn't think that, judging by the way the preview has been through multiple outlets. You'd think that this is the biggest derby in decades. I think they were saying the same about the game that happened just over 2 years ago at Ibrox as well. The narrative seems to shift.
Wasn't a title race, though. Nah, never a title race, nah.
I don't know why they seem to discount that, because, you know, title races are good for the Scottish Premiership. It means that the two sides are close, which they haven't been. In modern history, they haven't been close, apart from the 2020-21 season. There were other factors at play. Every other season, Celtic have wiped the floor. And in another season, Rangers haven't even been in the same league as Celtic. So, you know, those titles have been discredited as well, which is quite strange. Celtic have had Rangers' number over the past 10, 11, 12 years in these fixtures and in the league in general for most seasons. It's up to Celtic to keep that going. You know, there is a big bounty at the end of this league season, that £60 million that comes in the door collectively due to the Champions League money and the revenue that you'll get off of that. Celtic need to make sure that that's in Celtic's hands and maintain that gap between the two sides, because I do believe that if Rangers get that, they'll be more likely to spend some of that money to close the gap even further. If you're looking for Celtic to maintain their dominance over Scottish football, which I still think they can do, then they've got to win the league this season. And by doing that, you know, as a consequence of that, or as something that can make that consequence be a reality, then they've got to win these games. They've won two games already. They've already won at Ibrox this season. They've won at Ibrox with players that wouldn't even be getting in the starting lineup this time around. You know, you get Carter Vickers back, Cal McGregor looking to be back, Rio Tati looking to be back. All these players can make a massive difference. If they all stand up and be counted for, then I think there's only going to be one winner on Sunday. But if they allow themselves to play the occasion rather than the actual game, then, you know, it becomes a bit of a jeopardy game.
Yeah, you look, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, the last win at Ibrox, if we go with the team I've said... I think you're looking at Carter Vickers coming in for Lager Bielka. You're looking at Hatate coming in for Turnbull, who I'm sure started that day, and Kuhn for Abada. So I would say we're pretty up there, certainly on you know, two of those players, and Kuhn is more informed than Abada was at any stage this season.
Kuhn's a better winger than Abada as well, and that gives me confidence, because Borna Barisic, who I presume will be starting, either him or Ridvan Yilmaz will be starting, one of the two.
I don't think Barisic will start.
I think it'll be Yilmaz. He's sort of been an info player for Rangers
Sterling
recently.
At left back.
Sterling.
I've got a funny feeling that.
Which is very much like the sort of Maeda for Celtic, in which he'll be put on Kuhn to negate his attacking play. I'm sure they'll have been looking at him tactically during the week, because he's a player that they should be worried about, because he's direct, he's dangerous, he's got a shot on him, even though we've not really seen it as of yet. I've seen it in clips for Rapid Vienna. He's done it before. I just think that pound for pound, Kuhn is a better winger than Abada, because Abada was more like a wide forward than a winger. And Abada had the runaround on Barisic or whoever he came up against. He has a really good record against Rangers. So if Kuhn can get the level that we know, or the level that he's starting to show at Celtic, because he was sublime in those two home games and really good against Livingston away from home just after the international break. This could be his breakout game. I'm not saying he's arrived just yet, even though I did an article saying the complete opposite, that he has arrived. If he wants to completely arrive, the best way to do that as a Celtic player is to do it against Rangers. And it's the stage is set for him to make a massive impact in this game. He's got everything in his locker to make that a reality. I want everybody to be talking about Kuhn at the end of the game on Sunday, about how he's arrived, about how $3 million was a snip for Rapid Vienna. I want people to be tweeting Rapid Vienna and putting on their Instagram that there's been a robbery for Kuhn because $3 million was a bargain. If that's the case, then he's had a good performance in a Glasgow derby, which is a great way to acclimatise yourself and really showcase yourself to the Celtic support. If you can do that, then I think everybody will be quite happy.
Yeah, it's a big one for Nicholas Kuhn. It's a big one for everyone, but I think Nicholas Kuhn's going to be really interesting. Can he really impact this game the same way as he has against Livingston or St Johnstone? Because it is a step up. That's a big question for me. Just a few more comments before we head off. Robert saying, I think they will try and out-muscle us on Sunday. Expect Sterling and Lundstrom to leave a couple in Kyogo and Rio early doors. I'm going to agree with
get
you,
near
Robert.
Them.
That's all I'm going to say. I think that... is sadly what we might see. Hope there's protection there from, you know who. Robert also saying, is Tony smuggling a TIFO into Ibrox? I think if we speak, we're in trouble here, Ryan. We should probably say for clarity, no, he's not, in case that...
no, he's definitely not.
He's not.
No, he's a consummate professional. He would never do that. He'll be entirely professional before, during and after the game, which he always is, to be fair. Yeah. And thank goodness for that.
GM saying Carmack will be honest about being ready. We know Rio is ready. And Alistair saying Siege mentality will be our ace card on Sunday. Oh, I'm getting up for it, everyone. I've started watching YouTube videos of recent matches and all of that stuff. The kind of thing that Derby Week can bring you. And we've still got like 3 days to go, but we're getting there, and it's going to be a massive weekend. Listen, we'll be back this time tomorrow to do it all again. One final shout out for this offer we've got going: 6 months of access for the Celtic Way for £1, and you get a free Kyogo Furuhashi print from renowned football artist made by Frankie. Ryan, thanks for your time. Thanks everyone for tuning in, watching afterwards, subscribing, etc. Speak to you tomorrow.